Hello and welcome into the Rebel Room. I am Taylor Byrne alongside colleague, boss, man frantically working to punch in the box score from UNLV's most recent game, Ray Brewer. How did UNLV do in that game since you have the box score right in front of you, right?
Well, pretending that I didn't watch the game at all, even though I did watch, does the 11 for 17 from the free throw line hurt considering their best shooter went 0 for 3 and they lost by 1 point?
I think that would be a concern, yes.
Okay.
As would be the fact that they had an 18-point lead in the first half that was 2 points by halftime, effectively just getting rid of the advantage that they had built off of a really great start. Look, they were fantastic at the beginning. And for those who didn't watch the game, it was an 83-82 loss at Colorado State, who's, you know, been – they're not a great team. There are no great teams in this league, but they've been – just about as good as anyone else, you know, probably just that second tier, a tick behind, you know, Wyoming, who they split with, and maybe San Diego State, but a very good team in a pretty good environment. What did they list the attendance at?
71,013.
Okay, and it felt probably close to that with an orange out there at Moby Arena. It was a good crowd. UNLV just jumped all over them. And they just couldn't get it into halftime. You felt like if Colorado State even got it within like 8, that they were going to be feeling pretty good about themselves. So getting it all the way down to 2 by halftime, and then almost immediately taking a 7-point lead early in the second half. You know, that was, as far as I'm concerned, that was the game right there, because UNLV, when it's gone down to the wire here, they've won a couple of these games, but they've lost more than they've won. They've just shown that late game execution is not a strength. They ended up in this particular game getting a decent look at it when Cody Doolin, off of a drive, kicked out to Jordan Cornish on the wing for a 3-pointer. About as good of a look as you're going to get at the buzzer. But Rashad Vaughn, who scored 30 points, did not touch the ball on the final possession. Pat McCaw and Christian Wood, who both scored 16, did not touch the ball on the final possession. So that was – I thought that was the mistake there, just letting your primary options get taken away too quickly. Although the way that Vaughn and Cornish described the play after the game, it sounded like Vaughn was just supposed to stand in the corner and basically be a decoy off of a dribble drive. The initial plan was a dribble handoff to Pat McCaw. That was denied. Doolin just took off. The double team came, and he kicked out to Cornish. So overall, the result of the play, I think, was okay. It's just when you don't get the ball into the hands of the guys who have carried you up to that point offensively, I think that's a little strange. But at the same time, you know, we've seen UNLV just fail to execute at the end of these games. So still, Dave Rice is still winless at Moby Arena. UNLV still without a victory against any of the top 6 teams in the league. Now 4-6 in league play, 13-10 overall. Is that right?
13-10 overall, 4-6 in league play. You bring up a great point earlier inadvertently, and I'm going to ask you a question. You were talking about what tier certain teams are in the Mountain West. What tier is the UNLV team you cover in the Mountain West?
I mean, third at best.
How many tiers are there?
4.
Wow, how the mighty have fallen.
Yeah, I mean, you've got you could argue that there's only 3, that there's the seemingly better than average, which would be you know, just going off the top of my head, Wyoming, San Diego State, and I guess you could put, if you're doing it that way, Colorado State up there. Then you've got your average, which is your New Mexico, Utah State, UNLV would be at the bottom of that. And then you've got your just terrible, which now there might actually only be one, San Jose State, because with Max Yon back, Air Force suddenly a team to be reckoned with. They killed Wyoming,
who
was without yeah. Nance, without Herndon. Both of those guys had mono, so didn't take the trip to Colorado Springs. But still, Air Force just annihilated them. And so they're going to have, you know, without Jan, they were just terrible. You know, that's the version that UNLV saw at the MAC. And so now with him back, I predicted that they would at least mess a few things up for other teams. And that immediately became the case as they took down Wyoming. And now that's a bigger problem for UNLV. Recording this on a Tuesday. UNLV hosts Fresno State tonight, and then on Saturday they're back to the state of Colorado to take on those Air Force Falcons. Ray, they had the bye week, time to prepare. They come out playing absolutely great, and it still ends up in a loss. 4-6 here, over halfway through league play with the week that they have coming up here. What's your assessment of where things stand right now?
And to me, yeah, they had a week to prepare, but it's the same problems. When you only play 7 guys, basically, guys are going to get tired, especially in a high-altitude road environment such as in Colorado State. And, you know, for me, I think the season's been doomed from the beginning in the way that the roster was built when they agreed to take on Seegers and Carter as red shirts, you know, then –
But this is you say doomed from the beginning. This is the first time you're saying doomed from the beginning. So that's retroactively looking at it.
Well, yeah, it is retroactively looking at it. But I think I've always said that UNLV's missing a big man. And I'd said that it would have been Carter, and you said no, it would have been Birch. We've had this talk multiple times.
Because that's the only one where it was ever possible. Carter wasn't getting an immediate red shirt unless they completely gamed the system. Which some universities have done plenty of times, but there wasn't. I don't think there was a legit reason for him to become immediately eligible. So if you're looking for an additional big man, it was the guy who decided to leave in Ken Birch.
Yeah. Either way, they're thin. They lose Cook to injury. You know, Kendall Smith transfers out. Now all of a sudden, your Doolin probably hasn't played as good as you'd imagine. Now all of a sudden, you're down to 7 guys. Well, Doolin, you know, hasn't given you the production you've wanted, and they're in games. McCaw's been amazing. He's your guy. Wood has been off and on. Sometimes when he's on, he's awesome. Vaughn has been one of the best scorers for freshmen in the nation. It's just that every game is close, and around minute 32 or 33 of the game, the teams that aren't that good, UNLV somehow finds a way to put away. Portland at the buzzer, Sam Houston State, Morehead State, teams that aren't that good, UNLV's better talent than they find a way to pull away. Teams that could do anything productively or have one player that could do something, they put the pedal on the metal and blow the Rebs out. And that's just –
Yeah, but no, they're still not really blowing them out for the most part. The games
–
Blow
them out in the last 7 minutes. They get a run to beat UNLV.
But also, Reno's like worse than any of those teams that
But
you
they had
said
one
earlier.
Guy who had a motor. Yeah, so, I mean, how much of this are we going to say it's okay? I'm not saying Dave Rice is not doing a good job, but Dave Rice late game execution clearly has been a problem.
Yes.
How much of it is late game execution, and how much of it is that UNLV's gotten to the point where they need a shot to beat Boise at the buzzer and it goes to overtime? They have a shot to beat Colorado State or whatever it is, and they just don't have the legs and they're too tired to get it done.
I think that's an excuse. Well, okay. but at the
same I'm an apologist. That's my
at the same
MO.
Time, I mean, I have criticisms of Dave's lineup choices, just the way that he's always managed minutes, and so that's certainly with an acknowledgement that that's part of it. I think the San Diego State game, that's absolutely what happened, is they just had nothing left. And I didn't necessarily get that feeling up at Colorado State, mainly because it was, you know, once they lost that lead, then I guess I wouldn't have been surprised if Colorado State went on to win by 10 or 12. But UNLV was able to fight back. They got production in key spots, just a shot here, shot there from a lot of different people. And then Rashad Vaughn just completely took over at, I think, 16 of those points in the second half, a lot of them down the stretch, as he and Daniel Bayerano just, you know, were trading threes for a while. And the other thing about it, I guess if you're looking for the optimistic view from UNLV's side, I mean, Bayerano had to hit like a couple of NBA range, we're fine if he takes this, threes, and he just dropped them in the bucket like it was nothing. And so Colorado State did have to fight back, had to play well, had to do all the things that a good team, a good, well-coached team with Larry Eustace, there was probably one of the best in the league, is capable of doing, but UNLV made them do those things. So I guess that's the optimistic view. The pessimistic view is just look at the record, look at the way that they've lost all these games, look at the fact that in league they have not beat anyone of any relevance. You know,
they really only have like one or two games where you're like, oh wow, this year, right?
And they've got halves. You know, first half at Kansas, Chris Wood's first half at Wyoming. A lot of it's first halves, as you'll notice.
And that's where I go back to them running out of gas, which is an excuse. I totally get it. Is it a good excuse, though, Taylor? It's an excuse. It's a crutch. But is it a good crutch?
What do you mean, is it a good crutch?
I mean, you have to try to explain why they're not winning. You can't just say, okay, they're not winning because...
Well, here's an easier one. They're not good enough.
Okay, there you go.
They're average at best.
But could they be better?
Well, of course they could. Yeah, they're 13-10.
Can they be better? Not could they. I'm sorry, wrong C. Can they be better? Maybe not tomorrow. Maybe not tonight. I'm sorry. Maybe not Saturday, but maybe this time next year.
Is this Casablanca?
Maybe
not tomorrow. I mean, yes, we've always talked about it's geared towards the conference tournament for them now. That's what's left.
Rome wasn't built in a day, Taylor.
What are you?
It's going to take time. You got to be patient.
4 years. This is fourth season.
But they hit the reset button this year.
Okay. All right, Dave. With you, he loves his catchphrases. Like he'll glom on to, like, the first thing he said after the Colorado State game. Is we played hard and we played together, and I wanted to bang my head against the wall. Like, enough. I get your talking points. I don't care about them right now.
That's coach speak.
Yeah, and he loves coach speak.
Have you ever interviewed a coach where he just comes in and, like, I'm awful, we're awful, I got to get
Bill Self.
Yeah, but Bill Self could do that. Calipari. He's won a national championship. Calipari could
Although
do that.
Although Calipari loves to manipulate stuff, too. He, like, creates all the fake storylines, like the tweak last year. That whole thing. But no, I think you would find Steve Fisher just own up to certain things. Like, when teams just don't play well, that is one of my criticisms of Dave, is that it's sort of like what we're doing here. It's constantly looking for an excuse, a reason, all this stuff. Sometimes you say, yeah, we stunk. We didn't play well here. Like, just, you know, I would like to see him and the team own things a little more than they do. But that's getting kind of nitpicky.
It's easier for people that consistently play good when they have just a crap game to say, okay, we were bad, and everybody's like, okay, well, they were bad, but they'll be better next time. At UNLV, if they're bad, it's like, oh, God, and you list every time they've been bad in the 4 years.
Yeah, but what sounds worse, just saying, yeah, we didn't have it tonight, or listing off 20 excuses why you didn't have it?
Well, people are going to ask why you didn't have it.
Eventually, the excuses
you
just can't be just like get Belichick. Retread over and over.
You can't be like Belichick and be like, Fresno Tuesday. We'll be better. Fresno Tuesday.
Now, that's basically what he does a lot of times, too. But that's all. I mean, that stuff I don't feel like is nearly as important to focus on, because they're, like we said, it's been for, they've been playing for the conference tournament for weeks now. You know, any at-large hopes that have been off the table and all that stuff through their own doing. So it's been about trying to get better by the second weekend of March. And this is clearly, I mean, you can, I don't know, they ended up being 9.5 or 10-point underdogs in the game Saturday. So do you walk away feeling more or less confident than you did going in? Like, I think if they didn't have the bad losses beforehand, you know, like the Reno game, the Boise one, those two jump out to me. But if they didn't have those, I think a lot of people would be looking at this as, okay, that was a nice step. Had your chances, you know, just kind of blew the big lead and then couldn't come up with a make right at the end, but you were right there. But because of the results that they've already had, because they are under 500 in league play, because they're only 13-10 overall, they don't get the benefit of the doubt.
And see, that's the thing. If you ask me, which I think you were going to be, you were heading that way, is there a reason to be encouraged? Well, the beginning of the game when they led by 18 would be encouraged. Rashawn Vaughn scoring 30 points and catching fire is a reason to be encouraged. Now, on the same token, they lost the game. They couldn't hold on. So the reason to be encouraged just doused. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, at this stage of the game, I'm with you. They're playing for March. They're working toward March. Could they win 3 games in 3 days? Or are they going to have to play in one of the playing games?
Well, 3 games in 3 days would be a playing game, wouldn't it?
No, quarters, semis, finals.
Oh, yeah,
you're
right. Yeah. So 4-4. I mean, that's what they're looking at right now. The top six get byes, and they are not in the top six. So here's the way their weeks break out the rest of the way. So tonight it's Fresno and Saturday at Air Force. Then after that, the week is home against Boise at New Mexico. Then you've got at Utah State paired with Wyoming at home. Then San Diego State at home and at San Jose State. Or San Diego State at home at San Jose State. So this looks like the easiest week they have left. Fresno at home at Air Force. Can they go 2-0?
I mean,
is there any confidence in their ability to do it?
It's just the Air Force is going to be like a 2-point favorite, I bet.
Yeah. I still don't think they will be, but Jan certainly, it changes everything for them. I mean, he was their best player. And that, as you saw now, obviously not having Nance affects Wyoming a bit, but it should not, shouldn't mean that you go and lose by 20 at Air Force at the same time. And so that could certainly.
Wyoming was my play and play of the day, by the way.
Yeah, well, I mean, when everything's trending the other way, I think I took them in the Mountain West because I thought all the value was out of the number. Turned out that there was 17 points of value left.
Yeah, we way to go. We are we've never said we're the smartest two guys in the room. We just try to put ourselves out there for embarrassment.
No, so will they go 2-0 any week remaining?
The San Diego State, San Jose State week.
The last one.
And they'll have momentum going into the tournament and they'll lose in the first game.
That's possible. They played really well at Utah State last year. Obviously, the Aggies are a little bit better.
That's a fun little gym to play in, too.
I was really looking forward to that trip last year, and it just kind of didn't live up to it. So I'm looking forward to going back again to
the Spectrum. But on TV, at least.
Yeah, and I, you know, just the crowd is supposed to be pretty good for that environment. So hopefully, yeah, going there on a Tuesday night, who knows? But I mean, I do think they. They will go 2-0 at least one of these weeks, but is there any – there's no confidence in their consistency and their ability to string things together or just on any given night. Like you just – we're sitting here February 10th and you just don't know what you're going to get at the beginning or at the end.
And that's part of having a young team. They're inconsistent.
What was the excuse last year?
BDJ. Sucked the life out of the whole program.
Yeah. What was the excuse the year before? Caden and Anthony.
And those, well, the year we, before look they went to the tournament.
No, but for all of these random games that they drop in league play and all this stuff, you're just doing the same thing. Just right. excuse.
Well, finally, we need to look in the mirror and just say Dave Rice isn't the man for the job, right? I mean, according to his skeptics.
Well, yeah, that's what people are always going to say. Look, he's not – I think at minimum he's got another year. And should have another year when you I think sitting here today, I think Rashad Vaughn comes back. And so I think you can keep together that freshman class.
You lose street cred right there with your fans by saying that.
What?
Dave deserves another year.
No, I don't care. Fans were already apparently ripping me on one of the message boards for saying that I don't think Zim is coming here. And I can't say that I care about that either. But he'll get at least another year with the class that you've got coming in, the transfers – eligible, I think he definitely should, but there are probably a lot of people looking around wondering if he is the right guy for the job.
My one big criticism, I'm pro Dave. I think he does a great job recruiting, and I think eventually he's going to learn how to the X's and O's part of the job. But my one big complaint with Dave, and maybe it's different behind closed doors, but like to me, great coaches are ones that could go in there and motivate. Like Tony Sanchez could go in and deliver a speech.
Sanchez has not played a single college game yet.
I'm just comparing like how he could deliver a message. Well, I saw it when I covered Gorman, for example. And I know I'm just the high school writer, but like you look at like a guy like, you know, Vernon Fox, who took a team in Faith Lutheran who couldn't even make the playoffs. Same group of kids, got them a little more organized and talked them into believing that they could play. Somewhere along, and my big criticism of Dave is, you know, they had, you didn't see this, but before they played Temple at the Barclays Center, they were in the UNLV locker room, and I wasn't motivated. I wasn't like, sometimes you can hear somebody talk before a game, and you're like, you're like ready to go.
Run through the brick wall and all that stuff. Yeah.
Even you as a human, just you as a man.
Yeah.
And sometimes I don't know if Dave does that motivate you like that.
I don't know that Dave has a whole lot of those. You're right.
Yeah, and that's my lone criticism. I mean, other than
other than the on court,
I'm willing to be patient. You know, considering the talent he's brought in. My two cents.
Yeah, we will see how they finish things out here. Obviously, a lot of disappointment. But like I said, if they didn't have some of the bad losses that they had earlier in the year, this Colorado State loss wouldn't feel nearly as like much. But the fact that they blew such a big lead and just again weren't able to win a game, especially against one of the teams higher than them in the conference standings, certainly a disappointment. Fresno and Air Force this week, neither of those teams anything special, but Fresno has always given UNLV troubles, and this is the lone meeting with the Bulldogs this year. They're a little under 500, 11 and 12 overall. They've lost three of their last five, two of the last three.
Longest night of my life at Fresno, without a doubt.
For New Year's?
I've been on this job nearly 20 years. And I could count the amount of bad days I've had, and that is definitely in the top 10.
Well, thank you.
I will never forgive Bobby Howell.
UNLV football for getting me out of that trip last year, going to the Heart of Dallas Bowl. It said no trip to Fresno this year. Thank you,
I-60 West. It's Brewer, three semis, one lane, and a smell of garlic.
All right, for Brewer, this is Taylor. We'll talk to you guys next week.
I will hold on, hope, and die. Let you choke on the new surface.